You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 169. And my guest on the show today, bringing a dream for analysis and alchemy and deep understanding, is Abigail. As you'll hear when you listen to Abigail talking about a dream, she's from Phoenix, and she has a dream about three scorpions. Actually, she doesn't call it a dream. She calls it a nightmare. And Abigail said, you don't have enough nightmares and scary dreams on the dream show. So I'm bringing you one, and I'm very anxious about it. So we've also putting a call out for nightmares and scary dreams. If you too feel that we don't have enough nightmares on the dream show, you are more than welcome to bring them. As you know, if you've listened to the dream show before, when we have a guest on the show, which is maybe 75% of the episodes, I know nothing about the dream until we start recording. We have just recorded the dream, which is why I know it's about three scorpions and it's a nightmare. So I'm not really going to say any more other than it's a short dream. We delve very deeply into it and we come out with a lot of treasure and a lot of deep understanding. And you'll hear Abigail's excitement as she begins to understand the dream, and it's nowhere near as dark as she had feared, and she gets so much out of it. So just before we hand you over to Abigail and I talking about the dream, just giving the website address in case you haven't been there, or if you haven't been there recently, it's changed a lot, janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. Okay, go on, enjoy, listen. Welcome to the Dream Show, Abigail.
Hi, I'm excited to be here.
Oh, we're excited to have you, and you sound very chirpy.
Well, it's kind of funny because I'm actually going to bring a nightmare to your show. I don't think your show has enough nightmares. So
I love that.
I'll do it with a very chirpy voice, but it's very dark material.
Oh no, that's great. I'm glad you're bringing dark material, and I'm glad you're lightening it before we begin.
Right.
And I think I might have to put the show that doesn't have enough nightmares.
Right. Yeah, well, calling all people with nightmares.
That's right. Well, we are. We'll deal with your dream. But hey, if you're listening in and you've got a nightmare, we now know that this is a show without enough nightmares. So bring on your dark and scary dreams. That's what we're here for. And it's great, Abigail, too, because, you know, it's lovely to have inspirational or problem-solving dreams because we can all relate to those. But, of course, the point that first often brings people to me is a nightmare or scary dream. And yet by the same token, so many people are frightened to even talk about a bad dream. You know, they have a feeling I might manifest it, or they're frightened to come to me and talk about it because I might have something even darker to say. So okay. I think it's really wonderful that you're bringing a nightmare to the show. So, okay, let's, with big smiles on our faces, tell me about your nightmare, Abigail.
Okay, well, I live in Phoenix, Arizona. I just moved here a year ago, although I've wanted to live here for a long time. And the dream was actually fairly realistic for most of it. I was lying in bed, and I don't know if I was asleep and I woke up, but the room was dark, and I saw something on the ground, and I kind of started a little bit. I was like, is that a scorpion? And then I realized, oh, it is a scorpion. Which, you know, here in the desert is very possible. People do get scorpions in their home. Yeah. And, but I know that, they rarely actually sting people, and there hasn't been a death from a scorpion bite in a long time. You just have to kind of be careful and respect them. And, so I was a little bit concerned, but, not too terribly concerned. Although I said it was really realistic, but in the dream, the scorpion was larger than they actually are. It was, I don't know, maybe like the size of my palm.
Yeah.
And it was gray. And around here, they tend to be like more sandy colored. But anyway, I turned the light on, and then I saw it in full detail. It had a gray body, and it was like I was able to zoom my vision in and see all the little details of its body. and its legs and everything. And then I saw the black, shiny stinger at the end of its tail. Mm. And the thought hit my head, the sting is in the tail. And it was sort of this ominous thought, like the worst is at the end kind of thing. And I was like, okay, stay calm. I was looking for my phone, which is, you know, a smartphone. And I wanted to look up and see if wasp killer could kill scorpions or if it would just make them mad. Because the only thing I could think of was that in my cupboard I had some wasp killer. And I thought maybe I could go get some and spray it. And I was looking for my phone, and then I saw another two scorpions on the floor. And one of them jumped onto the dust ruffle of my bed, which I actually don't have a dust ruffle. The rest of the room was pretty realistic, but I don't have a dust ruffle. And at this point, I kind of got slightly lucid because I asked myself, wait a minute, do scorpions actually jump? Could it jump from the ground to the dust ruffle? And then it was sort of like, well, I don't really know how it got there, but it's important to the story that the scorpion's on the dust ruffle, so just leave it alone. Stop asking questions.
And let it be there.
And then it got into the – then I wasn't lucid anymore. It was back in the dream, and the scorpion was right next to my hand. My hand was kind of resting on the side of the mattress, and it was climbing up and getting closer, and I was really scared all of a sudden. Like, this wasn't – the scorpion on the floor anymore. This is really right next to me. And I was really worried that if I moved my hand wrong, it would just sting me. And my instinct was just pull your hand away as fast as you can and run out of that room. But I was scared that if I made a fast movement or something that it would sting me. And I was like, okay, stay calm, stay calm. Don't bolt and run. Just move really carefully. And then I woke up and I was completely terrified. And the first thought in my head was very irrational. I'm not a superstitious person, but the first thought in my head as I'm like kind of coming out of this dream is, it's an omen that someone wants revenge on you. Mm. And I was like, I'm actually dealing with a situation where that might be possible. And I haven't been worried about this situation until this dream. Like, oh, maybe this person actually is plotting something against me. But then I was like, no, that's not – I've listened to enough of the dream show. I know it's about me. It's not about something someone else is doing. But I still, you know, it was the middle of the night and just kind of freaked out. And I turned on my lights. I looked around. There weren't any scorpions on my, on my floor. I checked my kids' room. There weren't any scorpions. Like, okay, it's just a dream. But that was it. That was my experience.
And how long ago was that, Abigail?
It was last week, like Friday night to Saturday. So exactly a week ago.
Yeah, that is really scary. And you, I can appreciate that. And the way that you told it really brought that across as well. And I love that bit in the middle where you became lucid, but very intelligently talked yourself out of the lucidity. You know? So, you know, it is exciting to be lucid. And you know, and there are a lot of things you can experience when you're lucid. But the one thing that does happen is that you start to control the dream rather than the dream storyline unfold as it was going, you know, and the dream storyline unfolding, as you well know from listening to so many episodes of The Dream Show, is your mind and your brain processing what it needs to process. So the moment you're lucid, you interfere with that process, which can be interesting and good, and you can interfere in a therapeutic way, but you miss gathering all the information about how your mind processing is going. So I think it's great that you talked yourself in the lucidity to let the lucidity go and let the dream unfold. And you also made a really great observation there. You know, this dust ruffle is obviously really important because it's the standout thing in the dream that, you know, the rest of the room apart from the scorpion is at it, but I've got a dust ruffle. So we do want to look at that. And also on waking, I just want to ask you a little bit about, first of all, that situation that you described really beautifully there, that on waking, you know, you were sort of wide awake but went really sort of bright into the day, and the first thing that you noticed was this feeling of, oh my, is it an omen? Is there a potential revenge coming to me? And although you were...
the middle of the night.
Oh, the middle of the night, sorry, yeah. Even more but, so. So although you are awake, it is that feeling that it's still a little bit twilight zone when we've just woken up before we've completely snapped into the day, isn't it? And particularly when you're still, and particularly when you're still thinking about the dream, you're still in touch with your unconscious mind and your processing. So it's quite important to look at that waking thought almost as if it's part of the dream, this feeling of the omen and the revenge. So while we go through the dream, and I'll ask you about it later, I'd like you to also be thinking about when in your life, was there a time in your life, earlier in your life, where you were aware that somebody was out for kind of revenge in some way of you? You know, was that reference to revenge a part of your history or experience? But I'm not going to ask you that now. I'm going to ask you that later, but just putting that in your mind at the moment. I want to start at the dust ruffle, of course. Always start at the most amazing symbol. Talk to me, Abigail, about dust ruffles, your likes, dislikes, the uses of dust ruffles, etc., why you don't have one.
Well, my bed doesn't really need one. And actually, it's kind of an interesting symbol for my personal history. The guy that I was in love with a few years ago, I mean, one of the few people that I've actually been truly in love with, didn't work out, but one of his weird little pet peeves was dust ruffles. He just didn't like them. He hated them. Like, it was just this really weird thing of his. And I've, like, until he mentioned that, I've never even thought about dust ruffles. Like, they're just this ordinary thing. Like, I could take it or leave it, whatever. I mean, you know, there are some beds that you really need to, I guess you would want that because it makes your room look better and it kind of covers up what's under the bed. And, or you might have a bed that has like a really ugly frame and you need to cover it. But my bed that I have right now is, it's actually a futon and I don't have anything under there and I just don't need a dust ruffle. So, but it's sort of a kind of a funny thing. Like, it has this connection to this heartbreak that I had a few years ago when this guy told me that that he was going to be seeing somebody else. And I guess when I think of dust ruffle, I think of that guy, just as sort of a connection there, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, it does. And when you do think of that guy and the fact that he said to you, "Oh, I'm going to be seeing someone else," did that have a sting in the tail, a scorpion kind of feeling about it?
Oh, that was a horrible period in my life. It took a really long time to get over. There's still part of me that would probably be able to fall in love with him again, or that still loves him. You know, I don't think you can ever stop loving somebody, even if they're destructive for you, you know, like, but I also know that we wouldn't have worked out, and it's probably for the better. At least I try to tell myself that. He was kind of scorpion, like, in that, like, scorpions are kind of secretive. They don't like to be exposed. They're nocturnal. They kind of hide under things. And I never felt like I was getting the whole story from him. Like, he just wasn't a very open person. So it did kind of have that shock of, oh my God, I had no idea, you know.
It's interesting that one of the things that you say there, you know, is that a scorpion, I just wrote down what you said, a scorpion is secretive and it tends to hide under things and not be open. And a dust ruffle, you described a dust ruffle, amongst other things, as a way to hide what's hiding under things. You know, what you've got hiding under the bed, you can cover up with a dust ruffle. So a dust ruffle is almost like a double symbol for hiding something. Like, I'll hide what you're already hiding under the bed. It's like a double wrap hiding. So, and in the dream, of course, that the third scorpion is actually sitting on that dust ruffle, you know, making it very clear. It has come out. The scorpion, as you've described it, would normally hide and be hide under things. But in the dream, there are three scorpions. In the dream, the scorpion is not hiding under things. It is actually sitting on top of the thing which is made to hide other stuff to hide things. So it's kind of like right on the top. It's right in the opposite position. You know, if the scorpion were anywhere, you would expect it to be on the other side of the dust ruffle.
Right.
So it's kind of like the symbol of the scorpion, something that would normally hide under things, is actually sitting in the dream on a symbol of something that normally hides other things. So you've got this kind of double play with hiding and what you can now see. You can now see the scorpion because it's not behind the dust ruffle. So you kind of got that thing going on in a general sense. But as you also say, in a way, the key symbol about the dust ruffle for you is that this man that you did love so much back then really hated dust ruffles. And and you'd never thought about a dust ruffle until he pointed it out.
So, it's like, what's there to hate? I mean, it's kind of boring.
The fact that in the dream, everything is as it is in your bedroom, apart from the scorpions, but you have this added feature, or this boring feature, the dust ruffle, the feeling that's coming to me, it's almost like, well, there's a part of my personality which I can now have, you know, represented by the dust ruffle if I wanted to, because the guy isn't around to offend. You know, there were things that he didn't like. And in all relationships, if the other person doesn't like a whole lot of stuff, you question, well, I don't think this relationship's really working. But if there's one or two things, you kind of, well, I won't do that then, or you don't do this, or, oh, you don't like me in red, or, well, maybe I won't wear it while we're around together, or whatever. So the dust ruffle, in a sense, in the dream is something that, oh, I can have this in my life because it's not an issue anymore.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because a few weeks ago, I actually did feel, I mean, you know, like healing sort of happens in stages, and there have been several stages where it's like, okay, I feel like I'm getting better from him now. Okay, I'm getting better. I had another one of those moments pretty recently. I couldn't tell you exactly when, but recently, where I noticed that this isn't hurting as much. And, you know, it's, I wish him well, I can think about him without crying, and that kind of thing.
That's so really big.
It is sort of like a freedom. Like I can do things without him affecting me.
Yes. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Even have a dust ruffle.
I could have a dust ruffle. He won't be around to complain about it.
That's right. Yeah. So no, that's beautiful, and that's really lovely to hear about the ongoing healing. And you're so right, it does take a long time, and to get to that stage of being able to talk or think about him without crying is a significant step, you know. So well done there. So we've kind of so far got the scorpion as possibly representing him, also as possibly representing the feeling or the shock that you got when he kind of came out from hiding and showed you the secretive side of himself, which was that there was someone else. And while that may be the symbol in the dream, maybe about him and the relationship and what you're recovering from, it also moves forward in your life to represent anything else in your life that has been undercover or has been secretive that is now coming out for you to notice. And of course, this can also, as you mentioned at the beginning, can also be totally and absolutely all about you, as every dream is. And it could be something that you haven't realized about yourself, something quite secretive that you're now noticing about yourself and your life. And we'll come to that later. But basically, my feeling is so far, before we explore the rest of the dream, which we are, that this is to do with you being more increasingly comfortable with having whatever you want to have in your life being a reflection of who you are and your personality and how you want to live your life without having to compromise to suit another person, i.e. him, and your feelings about that. You know, oh, how am I going to feel if I introduce a dust ruffle or if I introduce anything new into my life that is more about me? How do I feel about that? I'm coming out into the open. You know, you might have a wonderful, amazing, positive characteristic that you haven't shown yet. We all do. and the reason that you haven't shown it yet is because you're not sure how people will feel. You know, you feel vulnerable about it. Will there are lots of reasons for not, you know, for keeping it secret.
Sure.
And yet at this time in your life, particularly having moved to Phoenix and you're in a new situation, and it's a time when we tend to transform and show different aspects of our personality, do different things we want to do, bring secretive things out. You know, how do I feel? What are people going to think or feel about me if I bring this wonderful thing about myself out into mm-hmm. the open?
That's actually one of the reasons I moved to Phoenix, because I felt like the circle of friends and the environment in the place where I lived before was I had just grown out of it, and I needed mm-hmm. to find a new set of friends, a new, just basically kind of a new start. And it has been wonderful in that regard. Mm. I wanted to, if you don't mind, the concern or like the thing that I was afraid of when I woke up, and I'm having a hard time sort of like getting past when I think about the dream. And I try not to think about it too much, because I knew I wanted to talk to you about it and didn't want to taint it too much. But I guess the irrational fear when I woke up of someone getting revenge is actually related to a situation I'm in where I'm trying to break up with somebody.
Hmm.
And he's been very upset. And I've told him many times, like, look, I know how that feels. And believe me, I know. And, but you know, it's just not going to work, and I can't get him to see that it's not going to work. Like, he's just sort of refusing to see the serious problems we've had in the relationship. And, I guess I'm worried that he's going to do something to, you know, in his pain, he's going to lash out at me, or my children, or, you know.
Yes. Has he got a history that makes you think that that's likely?
Not really, but he said so much irrational stuff that I'd never seen him this irrational. I mean, he was always kind of eccentric, but I've never seen him this like just really crazy, like making these really strange accusations against me, telling me that he could sue me for emotional abuse. I'm like, what? You can't sue somebody for breaking up with you. Just like really weird threats. And
yeah.
It's just gotten like, it's so drama. I'm like, I don't need this drama. Just please go away. Like, I don't like a breakup to be hostile or anything. It's like, I wish you could see it, you know? And so what I feel like I want to make sure that I am not missing some important lesson from the dream about myself, but I feel really concerned. And again, it's irrational, it's superstitious thinking, it's not reality, but concerned that the scorpion might represent the boyfriend.
Yes. Okay, no, that I'm glad that you said all of that, and that's
sorry,
really
that's
good.
Probably
and
we, too no, much information.
No, not at all. No, that's fine. In this situation, you're the one trying to orchestrate the breakup. You're calling the cards, you're calling the breakup. Whereas in before with the old lover, he was the one that told you that there was someone else. He initiated the breakup. This time the boot's on the other foot, you're doing it. We're going to look at lots of different scenarios here, but one feeling that I get from looking at the dream and from what you're saying is that you've now cast yourself as the scorpion.
Unwillingly. I don't want to hurt people, you know,
no.
But we're both going to get hurt if we stay together, you know. It's just not working out. It's not a good relationship.
That's right. But you in your unconscious mind have this symbol of, oh, the person who breaks up a relationship is like a scorpion, because that's what the ex-lover was. Therefore I'm initiating the breakup. I must be a scorpion. Totally irrational, but unconscious mind, you're a scorpion. How dare you break up a relationship? So my feeling is that the scorpions may represent you, a shadow side that you have labeled yourself with. You don't have it, you know, as you obviously say rationally, if the relationship isn't working, it has to go its separate way. There will be pain, there will be stings. The stings don't have to be fatal. The stings will be greater if the relationship continues. The stings will be fatal if the relationship continues. But at some level, that scorpion, I feel, is what you've labeled yourself with. You know, that I in an ideal world, nobody wants to initiate the breakup. It takes courage to do that. And from everything you've described, it is right that you're doing that. And you've got an inner critic called a scorpion that you have labeled a scorpion. So let's explore whether that could be true by looking at some of the symbols. And the bottom line of all of this, Abigail, of course, is we're going to do some alchemy and actually find some practical and emotional help in this. Mm. But there are three scorpions in the dream. Have there been three particular moments which have been like the big times that you've tried to break up with this guy? Is it like, I tried at that time and then I tried? Have there been three occasions, three scorpions?
I'd have to think about it. Mm. It's sort of been just a, not really, it's been more of like a drip, 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 drip. And then finally, I just kind of had to make the break.
Yes. Has it been 3 months or 3 weeks or three something? Is it, does the number three kind of tie? I know this is usually the thing that an hour later you go, oh yeah, I know what the three was.
I can't think of, I mean, there are three males in my life. There's my two kids. They're both boys. And then this guy,
three years since the ex-lover.
Possibly.
But no, look, nothing's jumping to mind. Yeah. it'll come later. I was just investigating. It will be significant. And it has. I have the feeling that because there was one scorpion in the dream and then you look again and there were two together, there's something about something happening once and something happening twice. It may have been the dream doing a magnifying trick, as in, you know, also the first scorpion was twice the size, or actually more than that. So it may have just been replicating the image to really bring it home to you. And also, I guess, things grow out of proportion, don't they? You know, if the issues around the breakup become bigger and bigger if the breakup doesn't happen. Yeah. As you say, you know, the whole thing, as you said, drama, I think, becomes a big drama, the omen, the revenge. It becomes bigger and bigger and bigger because it's not getting settled. So the dream may also just be magnifying the symbol and replicating it to really draw home that feeling, that nightmare feeling that you've got, that, oh my God, I'm a scorpion. Mm-hmm. I'm going to hurt someone. I'm going to be fatal. I've got a sting. I shouldn't be a bad person. I shouldn't be a scorpion, whereas none of these things are true.
I just know how much I was in pain, and I hate to put someone through that, you know. Yes. But I just, there,
you're not actually, you know, let's be very cool and calm here, as you say at the end of the dream. Let's be cool and calm. You're not actually putting anyone through pain. You're calling the end of a breakup of a relationship which is not working.
Yeah.
So it is odd that he feels that it's been working, because if it's not working, he must know that at some level there must be some pain at some level. When you as you you come across as such a rational and yet loving person, you know, I'm sure you have tried every angle to soften the blow and explain why this relationship needs to break up. Probably to the nth degree, and probably far more than you ever needed to, probably prolonging the pain. But it's the cool, calm bit I was coming to was, it's his response is his choice, as we all know.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of pain that he allows himself to feel is up to him. You don't actually cause that pain. Right. All you're doing is saying, this relationship is not working for either of us. And if you can't see that, I know that it's not working for me.
Yeah.
And then it's up to him how he responds to that. And of course, we all respond. We all feel pain after a relationship breakup. But you're not actually doing that to him. That's up to him how much he chooses that. I'm just trying to really make it clear that you are not causing pain.
Right.
You are ending a relationship which is painful.
Yeah. And I know that.
But your unconscious mind is having a ball.
Apparently, giving me nightmares. It's been really stressful.
So let's look at some of the other symbols in dream. Let's really work around it. So when you mentioned that the first scorpion was larger and you said, oh, it's about the size of my palm, which is a thing we'll often say, a thing's about the size of my palm. But later at the end of the dream, there was a lot of emphasis on your hand. You know, your hand was on the dust ruffle.
Yeah.
And it was, shall I pull away? Shall I move my hand fast, low? Do I move fast, low? But we were looking at the hand again.
It was my right hand.
Your right hand, okay.
And I'm right-handed.
you're right-handed. So you would normally use your right hand for, finish the sentence.
Everything.
Everything.
Writing, I guess. Mm-hmm. Pretty much holding things, brushing your teeth, combing your hair. I mean.
So writing and holding things as well.
Yeah.
And the other thing is brushing your teeth and doing your hair. That's your personal image. But holding, you know, a breakup is letting go, holding on, letting go. How much you hold on, how much you let go. Hands, handle, continuing your theme here. How do I handle this relationship breakup? Can I break up with him and make him feel really good about it? That's the ideal. But, you know, that doesn't actually happen. No. Often the person may come back years later and say, you know, I know this sounds terrible to say, but I'm so glad that we broke up because you gave me a gift day. You know, we all know that.
Yeah.
But it's how do I handle that in the moment? And of course, you've got all that beautiful symbolism there at the end. Do I stay in and help this? Do I make a quick escape? You know, how long do I stay in and try and handle this difficult situation? And that's where the logic in a dream analysis can tend to be a bit confusing. You know, we can take logic so far, and then we are, after all, interpreting the unconscious mind, where logic doesn't apply. Two and two doesn't make four. Two and two makes 22, or two and two makes a couple of pairs. You know, it's different. Right. So that scorpion, I still feel, you know, everything and everyone in a dream generally represents a dreamer. So to me, that scorpion is how you feel about yourself. Mm. And so the hand being near the scorpion, and how do I handle this, or do I make a quick escape, is how you handle ending the relationship, and whether you feel like you're being the scorpion or whether you try to get distance from that and everything around that. That is the question at the end. Do I move carefully? So let's just jump back to some of these other things. I love when you go to the phone, you decide about, you know, shall I check out the wasp killer? So have you actually got wasp killer in your cupboard? Was that a kind of accurate part of your dream?
I actually don't.
Good. So it's a dream symbol. So. Great.
I have to go look.
No, I love it. I love it when it's actually a dream symbol, you know, because you say, oh, well, I've got that in my cupboard. Oh, well, that was just a dream. Wasn't being very creative there, was it? Okay. So talk to me about wasp killer.
The image I had in my head when I was thinking of it is that it shoots in a really straight line, and it's, it doesn't like spread out. You have to really aim carefully. And I don't know if this is actually true, but that's what I had in my head, was I'd have to aim it because it comes out in a very narrow straight line. But I didn't know if it would actually kill the scorpion or just make it mad and then make it want to sting me. Because I've had a friend recently who said she had a wasp nest on her porch, and the wasp killer didn't actually kill them. It just made them mad.
So you had that symbol of,
is it going to be effective?
Yes, is it going to be effective? So I love that you said, well, it's you just shoot it out, you aim, and it goes in a straight line. And I don't know if that's how it works, but that's beautiful, because it doesn't matter. It's what your unconscious mind pictured. So that's what we're dealing with, and it's giving us a very clear message there. So we'll look at it on the two levels, which, you know, are quite literal, really. The one is, how do I handle this breakup? If you're thinking of the man as a scorpion, which I don't think is right, but if you were looking at it in that way, you'd be saying, okay, do I just aim, shoot? Do I get this over really quickly?
Okay.
But if that misfires, is it going to make him mad?
Right.
And that's where you're getting the feeling of the omen and the revenge. So in a sense, you know, I really don't think that he's the scorpion. But if you put that scorpion symbol on the whole relationship, this is something dangerous and volatile. You could get that feeling. Is if I aim quickly and shoot to kill this relationship, is the whole issue, not the man, is the whole issue going to come back and bite me?
Yeah.
That's the feeling.
And, you know, something that people have told me a lot, like him and other people, is that I can be too blunt. Like, I can be very direct in how I speak. Unintentionally, I just say what I think. And maybe that's kind of like the wasp killer coming out just in a straight line. It's just like, I have to stop and think and be very careful when I communicate with people to remember to be diplomatic.
Yes. Well, Miss Scorpion, you've now kind of described the scorpion aspect of yourself a little bit more strongly. Like, but a scorpion kind of shoots in a straight line from its back end. But a very sharp skin, not blunt.
The ones that are dangerous are the ones that have their tails off to the side.
Ah, of course, yeah, I can picture it more clearly now. See, we don't have scorpions in Australia.
You have everything else that kills you, though, so.
We live in a very dangerous place when it comes to animals. You have to look where you, yes, we do.
So the scorpions where their tails are straight up are not the ones that, I mean, they'll give you a welt or something, but they won't hurt you. The ones that you have to go to the hospital and get the anti-venom for are the ones that their tails are off to the side.
Right, okay. So that's a little bit different then. But you've still got this feeling that a scorpion, as you said, it's rarely fatal. But they do operate with a stinger. And I imagine the stinger is sharp, not blunt.
I would think so.
Yeah, because you said that people have said you can be very blunt.
Yeah.
And in the cliche when people say that kind of things is that you don't they usually say you're a very sharp shooter or you shoot from the hip? You know, there's that feeling of when you speak bluntly, you're actually very sharp and piercing.
So yeah, it's almost like you're too honest. Or I'm too honest. Sometimes it's kind of like when the light is so bright that you can't see because it's in your eyes. And I've felt that way a lot. Like I'm just saying things too directly and maybe they would listen to me better if I could say it in a more roundabout way or break it gently.
No, that's really, really interesting because then if you say, well, if you take the idea of the bright light and the dark, the honest, the absolute straight out, straight spoken honesty, what's at the opposite end of the spectrum from honest?
Lying.
Lying. The scorpion is secretive and hides. Right. The first lover kind of lied to you because he held back a truth that there was someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. Right. He was
so
hiding.
Yeah. So that symbol in your own unconscious mind, if we're applying it to you, could be a shadow side, you know, what's dark. So, yeah. Of course, a shadow side is something that's in our unconscious that we so don't want to be that we make sure that we are the exact opposite as we live our lives. So, you know. I, Abigail, am so anti-dishonesty, I'm so anti-lying, you said, I'm so anti-being secretive and hiding, I'd much rather be honest and have it out there, and because I am so anti these other things, I really don't like people having secrets of any kind, I'm going to be right out there and honest, even if sometimes, you know, people are pointing out to me that my honesty is not really valued because it's a bit blunt and it needs to be pulled back and be a bit more diplomatic.
Yeah.
So,
and it's something I've worked on and I feel like I have to stop and think about it, but I can do it. But in unguarded moments, I forget. Yes. And I just say what I think.
Yeah. I think a lot of people can relate to what you're saying, particularly in a relationship. That's when the blunt shoot does come out, and the honesty. But so in those moments where you have, you know, over the years been listening to people and stopping and thinking, how can I say this more diplomatically because it's going to have a better end result? What you're then doing is that if you imagine that those two extremes or that polarity, honesty on one end and secrecy or lying on the other end, what you're doing by pulling back from that, you're still being honest, but being diplomatic have we still got you? We just had some funny sounds on the line there. Okay, that's good. Being diplomatic, still being honest, but it's kind of leading the person on a little windy path until they realize, oh, actually, what she's really saying to me is this. So it is being honest, but it's kind of pulled back from full on 100% honesty. So what we're doing, if we look at that polarity of honesty on one end, 100% honesty, and on the other end, secretive or lying, while you've been learning the art of diplomacy, you've been pulling back from that polarity end of honesty, pulling back of reframing the situation to be kinder to people. So what you're doing is coming more back into the center, you know, so you're getting that a little bit more balance between secretive, let's call it secretive rather than lying, a little bit more balance between what I keep secret and what I just open my mouth and say. Now, your unconscious mind has spent all the years up until you started to become diplomatic shunning lying, shunning dishonesty, shunning anything less than 100% sad as it is, and recently has put the picture of a scorpion on that. So that the more that you learn this diplomacy and come back to this middle line, the more that you become aware of the scorpion, because you're not actually out there in total opposition to it anymore. You can bring in a little bit of scorpion here and bring in a little bit of secrecy. When I enter this diplomatic conversation with you, I have a secret that I'm going somewhere where you don't know where I'm going to go because I'm being diplomatic. I'm going to deliver a sting in the tail, but it's not going to feel like a sting in the tail because I'm going to be really careful. So do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it really makes sense because in this breakup, he has tried to continue to be part of my life and has tried to say, hey, how's such and such and how's this situation, that situation, and I've had to just stop talking to him, stop telling him about how things are going with me, stop sharing with him.
Yes.
I've had to kind of, I guess, be secretive with him.
Put the dust ruffle on.
Yeah, I had to put the dust ruffle on, I guess, because he's not leaving me alone. And it's every conversation I have with him is sort of giving him this false hope.
Yes.
You know, so it's almost like in order to be honest, I have to be secretive, which is sort of ironic.
Yeah, it is. That makes so much sense. And we're going to go with that and add a bit more in and really help you here. So you can understand that's why you're seeing more and more of the scorpion coming in. That's seeing a part of yourself that you have labeled as a scorpion. It is not a scorpion, but it's what you've labeled as bad, and you're beginning to see it. And in that first one, you got the opportunity to really zoom in and see the details. And yeah. It was only grey. It wasn't black. The stinger was black, but it was grey. Oh, it was grey instead of sandy. What does grey mean to you?
It's funny because just the day before I was talking with a friend about a mutual friend about her life. She moved to the city of her dreams, and I was commenting how I had been concerned for her for several years because her life was just kind of gray. She used to be so vivacious and happy, and her life had just kind of gotten gray, and that was the word I was using for her. Like, it was just really hard to watch that she had sort of gotten stuck, and then she moved to this other city and got better job opportunities, started a new degree, and it's like I saw the color come back into her life. And I was just commenting to a friend, like, I'm so happy for her that, you know, when I talk to her, I feel like the old friend is back, you know, the old life is back.
That's so wonderful. So your dream has brought that symbol in and said to you something about, you've got a question here where you're feeling that you may be pulling back on your vivacious self and becoming a bit gray.
Yeah.
Is that...
That's something I struggle with in general and have for a long time.
Yes.
I don't know. Go ahead.
Yeah. When you say you struggle with it, do you struggle with showing that side of yourself, or do you tend to go out there and try to be vivacious when you don't feel like it?
I think it's the second one. Like, I come across as, I don't know how I come across because I'm not other people.
No, we none of us know that.
I feel like I put on a good face and
yes.
Can function in the world and socialize and everything. But there's part of me that I guess that is sort of the inner philosopher is just, there's part of me that has sort of lost the color, I guess, or lost the continuation. I don't know. Like, it's better since being in Phoenix. I feel like coming to Phoenix was a step for honesty in my life, or authenticity.
Yes.
I don't know. It's the last time I was on your show, I mentioned that I have depression and have had it for a long time. I think it's just that. I think it's just, it's something that I've always struggled with. That, like, if I get alone for too long, or I'm tired, or mm-hmm. in a stressful situation or something, it really flares up. And it's just like, there's nothing in life. There's yes. no point. There's no reason to live. I'm just chugging along for no reason.
Yes.
It's all, so, yeah. Anyway.
How has that been during this, trying to handle this breakup and trying to bring about this breakup? Where would you say your depression depression levels are during this time?
Actually, I haven't had a flare up in a while. It was a relief to have him gone at first, and that kind of helped. And then when he started bothering me, I feel like I'm so stressed out, I can't stop to think about being depressed. it's sort of alarming, like all the way he won't leave me alone. It makes me feel like it raises my heart rate and makes me feel anxious. And I guess it's sort of the opposite, but not in a good way.
Yes, yeah. So in a sense, your dream is showing you that this gray is still there, but it's undercover. It's an issue to look at as well. And in a sense, there may be a link that you might like to explore between if gray is also depression or gray is a lack of vivaciousness, whether, you know, how is that related to your feelings about secrecy and lying. I mean, I understand you say, you know, you have approached depression in the past by trying to hide it and keep it secret, which would be like the scorpion as well, like something that's usually hidden.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really, nobody knows what to say when you talk about yeah. being depressed.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, my case is not as severe as some people's. I mean, I know that some people just, I've had seasons where I couldn't get out of bed, but I think I've got a good handle on it. I know how to cope. I know how yes. to, you know, what to do. I've built up a support system. I get exercise. I eat well, you know, take certain nutrients and supplements and things that help me manage.
I love what you say there. Sorry, you were continuing.
Yeah. Oh, I was just sort of an open-ended, but it's always there. It doesn't yes. disappear. But
so what I did love about what you said there, Abigail, was that in acknowledging the depression when it has reared its head and tail and been a bit more of an issue, yeah. is that you have a way of, I forget the exact word you said there, but it was something like coping, and it implied yeah. a calm coping because you have a support group, you watch what you're eating, mm-hmm. you know, you have a network, and although it's there, these things help you to handle it. And I'm thinking that on a practical level, that's one thing that I don't know. Are you calling on that kind of network and support for handling the breakup?
I have a few people I've been talking to about it. I don't feel like I can tell everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm. Yeah, like I said, I would just prefer to be honest about everything all the time, 100%. Yes. But you have to learn that some people, you know, it's just not appropriate, or they don't want to know, or
yeah. So it's that's this continual dilemma between the blunt speaking and the scorpion. But of course, there will be people who do want to know and can be there to help in that kind of situation. So although we're going to do alchemy and discuss it even a little bit more, it might be wise in Phoenix to either get just one or two friends or people that you don't even know at the moment that you will be able to find within the community, if you think carefully about how you're finding them, who can be a support group for you. In terms of how to break up with someone that's being resistant and clinging and irrational, there must be support groups of people that have kind of formulae for doing this and that can help you stay strong in kind of shutting him out when he wants to be included and everything around that. So it may be that your dream drawing your attention to that symbol of grey, which is also for you a symbol of depression, mm-hmm. is saying, you know, well, that this is how you handle depression when it rears up for you, or a scorpion mm-hmm. rears up too. This is how you handle it. It works for you. It's a system that works, that gets you through. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe you can reach out and find similar people. I know that they will exist that help you through this situation. That issue of trying to break up with someone who will not break up and is becoming irrational is very common, and there will be support systems, people that they help in that way.
I have some good friends I've been confiding in who have been very, very stabilizing. When I get anxious, I can talk to them and say, okay, I know this is, I know you're tired of hearing this, but I'm really anxious. Just talk me through this, you know, and they've been, I'm really grateful.
Yeah. So that's great. So you've got that in place. So we're going to sort of begin to wrap it up and do some dream alchemy. But of course, I'm here to say to you that if at any point you do feel that he is so irrational that there is going to be some serious revenge, obviously you are attuned to this. And I don't believe that your dream is saying that at all. But we have to put that kind of PS on it. Right. Obviously, you are intelligent enough to know where to go to the authorities to get a restraining order or whatever your equivalent is in Phoenix for that kind of thing, you know, that you or to get legal help if you feel that, or police help if you feel that there is going to be an issue. But I don't really think that the dream is saying that, but obviously you've got your eyes and your ears open in case it turns to that. I really feel that this is all about you, and that the omen of revenge, it's calling up, that's like your drama queen is going, oh my god, you know, this is an omen of revenge. or my own scorpion is going to get me, it's going to be my downfall. I really wanted to be an honest, bright, sunshiny person out there, and this is going to be the end of it all, you know. So
for sure.
What do you get before we move to dream alchemy? What's your kind of takeaway so far from what we've got in discussing your nightmare?
Yeah, I think the issue about the conflict between what do I hide and what do I put out there is poignant, and finding that balance is even though I would prefer, you know, to be completely open, maturity requires that you find a balance. And I guess maybe that, like you say, the scorpions about labeling myself as someone who is being destructive because of secrecy and because of hiding and going, no, I don't want to be that.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like that. That's not my intention. You know, I'm trying to make the right choices here. I guess maybe that would.
Yeah, that's really good. So I think I've got two sort of ideas that I want to run past you in terms of alchemy. But leading up to one of them, you know, you see the scorpion as that, am I being destructive in my secrecy? And I don't want to be that person. And there are those things that as you feel a scorpion, like you feel a being secretive that you don't put out there. But let's put different wording on that. What if we say that it's that the stuff that you don't put out there or acknowledge to everybody that you walk past in the street is not secretive. It's your private world. You know, let's pretty it up. Let's put different wording on it. You know,
yeah.
You don't have to. I know you don't do this, but just because it's a good picture. Every person that you walk by in the street, you don't turn around and say, well, this is what my life is like, and I'm going to tell you everything about my life, and I'm going to be totally open, because it's not appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, there are parts of ourselves or thoughts we have that we keep to ourselves because they're not appropriate or because they're precious.
Yeah.
Or we're still in a period of transformation and we want to enjoy the privacy of watching something unfold within ourselves. We're not ready to share it yet, but it's a good thing. It's not a destructive thing. So what I'm trying to say is, maybe we can change the vision of the stuff that you don't put out there, the stuff that you, what you withhold within yourself, you see as destructive or negative or hiding, well, secretive. And maybe instead of looking at it that way, we say that those, we're not looking at negative things. We're looking at the positive values of keeping some stuff in your private world, in your private garden that only you can enjoy.
Yeah.
Building inner stories, having meditational landscapes that only you know about, where you can go and be at peace and relax and write poems in your head or whatever. I don't know, I'm making it up, but to paint a different picture of your inner world as not a place of holding secrets, not a bad place, but actually a really wonderful place where, yeah, there's some things in it. There's things about, oh, sometimes I've got depression or sometimes I feel like a scorpion, but there's a lot of wonderful things in it. And to make that inner world that you don't necessarily share with other people a thing of value, so that what that then does is it says that you don't actually, you can go out the world and be a totally authentic person, but you don't have to spill all the beans.
Yeah. You can tell the truth, but you don't always have to tell the truth.
That's right. And you don't have to tell the whole truth. That's right. Yeah. You can value other stuff that you cultivate within you. And at some future stage, that may be ready to bring out or it may not. It's okay to have, you know, other people might describe it as your spiritual world that is not appropriate to share with other people because they're not on the same spiritual wavelength as you, or they're not interested.
Yeah,
it's not a value, so it's something you want to keep to yourself. So I'd like to just put out to you there that you begin to cultivate and see what you don't share, not as secretive and negative, but as something of highly personal, intimate, wonderful, positive value to yourself.
You said pretty it up. That reminded me of the dust ruffles. Like, it's decoration. It makes the room look pretty.
There you go. That's right. and that's good. So it's just having that, having that, reversing your thinking about that.
Yeah, I feel that, you know, I feel that.
That's good. So you feel that will come. And also just a very small point, and it may just be me, but you said, I'd like to be totally honest. I like to be authentic. And I thought to myself, actually, they're slightly different things. Because let's take the extreme. Someone that is not honest, is very dishonest, can go out into the world and be authentic. I am an authentic liar, and you can all see it. Okay, so authenticity is different from honesty.
Yeah, I
authenticity is being who I am, and you have to put up with that, even if there's a scorpion on my arm or whatever. So they are slightly different. I just wanted to put that, not to correct you in any sense, but just to say that may be something that your unconscious might like to work on and play around with.
Yeah.
But for the alchemy, when you said, okay, what I get from this is really that I need to put some balance between what I hide within myself and what I put out there. And we've just redefined what I hide as my inner garden. If we were going to speak longer, we're approaching the hour, so I know we can't. Mm. But if we were going to speak longer, I would engage you on us trying to build that picture of the garden, but I picture like a walled old-fashioned garden or something like that, you know, a secretive place. And I thought, you know, you said I need to find some balance between what I put out there and what I hide. So let's say find a balance between my outer world and my inner world, and you said find a sense of balance. And I thought, what if you did this by with the alchemy, by literally, because you're going through a period of transformation, getting something like drawing, say, a big circle, or cutting a big circle of fabric, or even just having a lovely big silk scarf or something like that. It's just a circle would kind of work well. And you put it on the floor or on a bed somewhere. And then you get lots of little cards or little bits of paper. And on each one, you write something. So they're either values that you would like to put out. They're like straight speaking or whatever, you know, each card has something positive that you like to put out in the world. And each of other cards have things that you prefer to keep in your inner garden, including things that you might see as negative about yourself. They're still part of you. And then have the scarf kind of laid out so that maybe the right-hand side is what you put out in the world, and the left-hand side is what you have in your private garden. Mm. And the thing about the cards is that you play around with them. So on any one day, you shuffle around. Today, I think this belongs in my outer world, or this belongs in my inner world. And you just have it, set yourself a month And every morning you get up and play around with the cards. And some mornings you might be braver and think, I think I'm going to put the scorpion on the right-hand side of the scarf. You don't have to act on it. You're just playing with it. And the next morning you might come, actually, I think I'll put him back in the garden. But there's this other lovely thing in my garden that I hadn't noticed was there before, this beautiful daisy or whatever. I'm going to put that in my outer world. So what you're doing each morning by playing with the alchemy is just getting the feel every morning before you do anything else, or once you've got the kids to school, before you go to work, whatever it is, get this feeling of, I can choose what to put in my outer world and what to keep in my inner world. And while I do this, I'm really focusing on prettying up and enjoying and valuing having an inner world that I don't share with other people, and looking over the month for a sense of balance there. That's what I would like you to do as an alchemy, because I think it would help. And I think, Abigail, in doing that and in contemplating some of the stuff we've looked at today, you might find that the discussion with the man and the breaking up might become clearer to you, how to go with that. And I think it is along the lines of perhaps you don't have to share everything.
Yeah, and you know, as you were saying that, I remembered, like, one of the main reasons I came to Phoenix, like I said, was the environment I was in. And I've actually felt quite a bit of guilt, because I feel like I have changed so much as a person, and my values and my interests and hobbies and everything, and beliefs have changed so much from my old circle of friends. But I have been scared to tell them that how much I've changed. And so even though I value being honest, I felt really guilty for not telling them, like, my religious system has changed, my political views have changed, all these things I feel like they're going to either not understand or they're going to judge me for, or everything. And it's kind of weird in a way, like, Phoenix was my, I don't know if it was escape, but it was like a kind of a fresh start. I just wanted to find an open-minded group of friends without that history, but I still feel that guilt. And I really liked what you said about I can choose, and it doesn't mean that I'm losing authenticity. Just because they don't know everything about me doesn't mean that I'm lying to them.
That's right.
And you know, I can say that rationally, but as I say it, I feel I feel kind of heavy about it. Like I said, I feel guilty, like I'm lying, but I'm kind of doing it to protect myself, or I feel like they wouldn't understand, or does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And you are saying it so beautifully. You know, you are saying, there's a guilt. I feel like I'm lying. I'm doing it to protect myself. So I'm now seeing the scorpion also as the guilt, the negative feelings about myself, because I'm lying. That's what you're not lying, but you feel like you're lying. And you described a scorpion as secretive and lying. And you protect yourself. And that's what a scorpion does. If necessary, it brings out its sting.
Yeah.
So that scorpion also at that level does represent your guilt. And of course, what's revenge for? Revenge is what you do when, you know, so that whole omen and revenge and guilt, that's all tied in together. So I think by doing this alchemy and shuffling around the scarf, you're also building on what you've just said there about what you can learn to comfortably keep to yourself without feeling guilty about it, but also perhaps finding times that whether or not you actually say, oh, my political beliefs have changed, or, oh, my spiritual beliefs have changed, you may find that some of those things, you're just walking your spiritual beliefs, or you're walking your politics, and people notice it, and that's okay. And judgment's a whole nother dream show program, but we know that that's their issue, not yours. So, you know, in doing this alchemy, you're then playing around with, you know, maybe some of those things will come out with your new circle of friends, or filter back to your old circle of friends, and how they judge or respond is their life and their journey, not yours. But you also have the option, as you say, to keep them in your garden. But in the way that you tied it up so beautifully, you really did further deepen the scorpion as symbolizing those things, the guilt, the negative things about yourself that you feel are negative. And we all know that guilt is a figment of the imagination. Guilt is the ultimate self-judgment, isn't it?
Well, you put it like that, I guess so.
Yeah. Judge and jury, you know. I find myself guilty. Oh, who said that? The judge, of course, in the court. Oh, I judged myself as guilty.
Yeah.
So there's so much light in this. And I'd love when you do this alchemy and you pick the scarf or whatever to have it something vivacious and colourful, because it adds that element that we've been talking about as well.
Yeah, I used to really love bright colors. I still do. But I've definitely muted a bit in my cases over the years. Yeah. I have some bright scarves, actually.
If they really don't do it for you, the bright scarves don't have it in your alchemy, you've got to feel comfortable about it, but don't use grey because you want to be a little one. And that may be part of, we're going to have to wrap because we can't go more than an hour, but that, you know, that thought that you should be vivacious might be something that's going to get knocked back too, something that needs to be in balance. You know, we don't have to go out and be the life, the soul and the party. Mm. We can also be grey some days, but at the end of the day, it's balance. It's, I'm a little bit colourful, I'm a little bit grey, and that makes me a really interesting person. That makes me authentic.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much, Abigail. I think there'd be a lot of people in the audience who would have resonated to many of the things that we've brought up today. And it was a nightmare, and you've faced a lot of fears. And, you know, isn't it amazing, that scorpion you were frightened of? It's just you, really. So we can change your mind about that. We can turn the nightmare into a dream. Thank you for being a guest on The Dream Show.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I love that you're all still here, because that was that went over the hour, and we're not supposed to go over the hour for technical reasons, but you're also here. I would have been here if I was listening, because Abigail's dream was just so engaging, and she brought so much out that I think so many of us can have got some take homes from. So thank you for listening. And of course, if you haven't listened to any of the other shows, well, you've got 168 to go back through. You'll always find the last 10 on iTunes. But if you want to go back right all the way to the start, just go to janetheresa.com and you can listen to them all there. There's also a lot of other stuff at janetheresa.com. There's a few hundred blog articles about different aspects of dreaming. And of course, there's also the shop where you can buy ebooks, paperback books, all mine, book me for consultations, etc., etc. So enjoy whichever way you're going. Have wonderful dreams for the month. And the next episode, episode 170, is due out on the 16th of October 2015, if you're listening to this in real time. And of course, if you'd like to be a guest on The Dream Show, it is something that you volunteer to do. It is a wonderful gift to give the world, to give all our listeners. Then go to janetheresa.com and you'll obviously see where to go to fill in the form and offer to be a guest on The Dream Show. Have a lovely month. Sweet dreams. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.